better and magically all go away. No, God appointed the wearisome nights to begin. He appointed their course and when they would end and how they would end. With Him speaking to Job at the end in chapter number 42, we see that they had lasted for months at this point. These wearisome nights may endure for quite some time in our life. And we are often tempted to say, like I am sure that Job had done up to this point, perhaps, if I had just done this differently, if I had just done that differently, if I had just stopped here, or if I had just went there, then things would be different right now. Or sometimes, we point the fingers at other people, don't we? We say, if you had just not done that, if you had just made this decision better, if you had just changed this variable. We often like to think like that and think that if we had just done something differently, we think we would have thwarted the eternal decree of God in some fashion. But that's foolishness. God has appointed it to be so. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't examine our lives. The Bible teaches us to examine our lives. The Bible teaches us that we are to understand when God corrects us, that we are to change our behavior. But that's entirely different from what Job was experiencing here. God's own word says that he feared God and eschewed evil. His own word says that he was the most righteous of the East. So we see that he did not bring this upon himself. We notice further here in verse number 4 that Job expresses the pain of his current condition. Does not this sound familiar? He says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. We lay down and we try to sleep and understand that what Job is saying here is both literal and it's symbolic. He's saying here literally that the nights are the hardest. Because when he lays down to sleep, he can't get his mind off of the difficulties, the heartaches, the trials, the tribulations, and all he does is closes his eyes and he longs for the day. He wishes for the day to come. He says, where's it at? He says, I just want to wake up and have this all be over with. No doubt many nights before this, he had laid down his eyes to try to rest and he thought, when I wake up in the morning, perhaps all of this will have been a dream. And I'll be surrounded by my 10 children and I'll have back my servants that I lost and the cattle and the camels, they'll be restored and all those things that have transpired will have been just a dream. My wife will be by my side and we will be serving God once again. We do that, don't we? We lay down and we wish for the day when things will be back to normal, when we won't have this wearisome night to endure anymore. We'll wish for the day when we finally realize that that's not going to happen. The next thing that Job then does, as he says that he lays down and he says, when shall I arise and the night be gone? He just simply longs for the day when things will be just a little bit better. When will that be? I am just full of tossings to and fro. There's an uneasiness in me that I cannot overcome. It is constantly there in the night season that has been appointed to me. He wished for the day when this appointed night would be over. Perhaps even to roll back and when he awoke, things would be as they were before. He was filled with uneasiness and pain in this appointed season of God. And we notice in verse 5, how it affected his days as well. As he got up out of the bed and faced the sunshine in the day, it says, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. See how he's describing himself, of course. He's talking about his health condition. It remained. He remained in poor health during this time. And so he's looking around and he's seeing everything that is wrong. And in this wearisome night that had been appointed to him to endure and to be part of and to experience. And though no person since Job has experienced the depth of devastation that he did, we can all relate. We can all understand the wearisome nights. We can all think about the season of life that we've been through at times where it just seems like it won't end. It seems like it's even getting darker and worse. It seems like it just won't quit. And we wish for the day. We wish for the day when things will be better. We wish for the day when things will be back to the way they were. Do you know what? Job didn't get back to the way they were, but he did get better. He did get better. In the end, we know that he found joy again. In the end, he found blessing. In the end, he found those things. And even though he had more children, he still had the grief that he experienced. He still had the difficulty that he went through. We can all relate to the appointed wearisome nights. We all have them. We're all going to have them. And more of them as life endures. That's a guarantee. But as we experience them, as they come about in our life, while we walk through this valley of the shadow of death and face these appointed times that we must face, maybe even perhaps are upon you now, or as we have faced over the last couple of weeks, we need to realize that God is in control of setting those appointments. And unless we're talking about God taking you to the woodshed for some gross sin that you have committed. Let's take that off the table for a moment and understand. What we're talking about is something that is totally and completely beyond our control. It's beyond our control as far as keeping it from happening or trying to reschedule. I mean, you know, when you have a dentist appointment coming up, I mean, don't you just hope that they're going to call you and say, we need to reschedule that for another time? You know, it's been overbooked or whatever the case is. I mean, don't you hope for that? And sometimes that may happen, or sometimes you just may call and say, I'm not coming, or whatever the case is, doctor's appointments, all those things, they get rescheduled, they get changed, they get moved back because of one reason or another. We can do that. But the appointments of God are not so. You must keep them. They will come. And they will happen exactly on the time that God has told them that they will happen in your life. And you know what? It won't have mattered what you've done before that. It won't have mattered what you're doing at the time. They will come. Job's children were going to die that day no matter what Job had done. He was going to experience that heartache, that difficulty, no matter what had happened before that. It wasn't punishment. It wasn't any of those things. It was an appointed night season that he had to go through. What we have to keep in mind is that when this takes place, the good hand of God is working in these appointments. He is working in these appointments just as he worked in Job's life. In the end of Job's experience, Job was able to stand, I'll just say, eye to eye with God and speak to him in a way that is just beyond what we normally conceive of. And he was able to hear God speak about how he created the ends of the earth. And he was able to experience God in a greater way than he ever could before. But these appointments accomplish some things in our lives. And these aren't new to you tonight, but something I needed to be reminded of. And certainly we see it in the example of Job. First of all, these appointments accomplish, or they teach us to trust. They continue to teach us to trust. Think about it like this. None of us like to go to the doctor or the dentist like I mentioned. And many times we may often think that they coerce us to go to see them or to have a test done just to line their own pockets. And that may be very well true in some cases. But when those appointments that have been set catch a problem, or they find a diagnosis that cures a difficulty that you had or didn't even know you had, you begin to trust that doctor a little bit more, don't you? You begin to say, okay, I needed to go to that. That was a good thing that I went through that appointment. And so you begin to trust a little bit more. When that doctor says, no, I think you need to have this test done. I think you need to have that tooth pulled. I think you need to do whatever it is. Begin to trust them just a little bit more. The same is true with the Lord. We learn to trust the Lord in the appointments that He sets for us, knowing that even though the night season or the night appointments might be long and arduous, might be dark and difficult, they are good for us, knowing even that we need them for one reason or another. Look at Job chapter 13. It's always hard for me to put my finger exactly on where Job is at in his progress, if you will, all throughout the book of Job. And I think that's because he's human. And so he oscillates. He goes back and forth. It's one day he's got maybe a better hold on it than he does the next day. And he goes sort of in that pattern. And his friends certainly don't help at all, as we know. But here in Job chapter 13, verse number 15, he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me. So Job is saying, I trust the Lord even if he kills me. I trust him. So anything up to being slain, of course, means I trust the Lord in whatever he desires to, whatever he brings me through, whatever happens in my life, I realize it's been appointed by God. It is for His purpose, it is for my good, and therefore I trust Him in it. And so we need to realize these appointments, no more than we changed the date of our birth, no more than we had anything to do with the appointment of our salvation, could we have anything to do with rearranging, changing, postponing or canceling these kind of appointments by the Lord. The best we can do is go through them with faith. And that's the second thing, of course, that these appointments accomplish. Not only to teach us to trust, but also to test our faith. Make no mistake about it, that these things test our faith. What do you think it was when God called Abraham to leave his homeland? What do you think it was when God called Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice Isaac? It was a test of faith. It was an appointment God has set for him to have to go through. And I often think about Abraham on that journey. I often think about how he watched Isaac every step of the way and how he thought about what he had to do and what was going to happen, how he trusted God that this appointment was set and he was going to raise him from the dead even if he did slay him. Tested his faith. Another purpose of these nighttime appointments is to test our faith. And certainly Abraham had some wearisome nights appointed to him as he traveled to go to Mount Moriah, a few days' journey. Often, even as we have a fire out back once in a while, we'll sit there and think about how Abraham must have felt the night before as he sat there and watched the fire that they no doubt had in their camp, knowing that on the next day he was going to have to light a fire, build an altar, sacrifice his son, and make a burnout sacrifice out of him. So he had some wearisome nights. Had some wearisome nights that were important to the process of testing and building faith. Satan concluded that Job only served the Lord because of the things that God had given him. The Lord knew differently, but Satan tested. He took all those things away, and all Job was left with, literally, was his faith. That's it. That's all he had. That's all that was left. As our faith is tested, we prove our motivation to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. Why are you doing what you do for the Lord today? Is it because He's given you health? Because He's given you life? Is it because He's blessed your family? Is it because He's given you certain things in life? Is it because of any of those things? Where there are going to be appointments in life where He allows Satan to take those things away? And all you'll be left with, in a sense, is your faith. It may not be total and complete like Job. There's going to be a while when you have to have surgery and you're down for a while and can't do anything that you've always done. There's going to be times when God takes away all the money that you've had. And all you're left with is faith. There's going to be times when He takes away all your friends, all your family. And all you're left with is faith in that sense. Why are you serving the Lord? These tests or these appointments show that to us. And they do test our faith. But understand that they come at God's direction, at His scheduling. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we see that our faith is tried, that it will be ready for the appearing of Christ, for our standing before Him at that judgment seat. Our faith is not ready for that time yet. Our faith has to be matured in its vibrancy, in its in its activity. It has to be always being tested and made better in that sense. It's not ready for that time yet. But these appointments will continually bring us to that place. Thirdly, these appointments, just as it did for Job, will harden us. But not in the bad way. Sometimes we talk about hardening, we're talking about being hardened against moving of the Spirit or against the voice of God. That's not what we mean. But being hardened for the battle of life. Can you imagine how hardened Job was as far as fighting the battles of faith after this experience took place in his life? Can you imagine when there was a little trouble or turmoil in his life? Do you think he ran scared? No, Job was ready for the battle. Job was ready for the battle. And these nighttime appointments get us ready for the darkest of nights that still lie ahead for us. You know, if we are scared when it's just twilight outside, how could we ever experience the darkest of night, which comes before, of course, the rising of the sun? And that's where we're at in this time we are in now. And so we need to be hardened. We need to be hardened in that sense. Anything that has not been tested is worthless. Would you want a car that hasn't been safety tested at all? Would you want even to plug in a refrigerator that doesn't have that little UL listing on the tag? I mean, would you want that? I mean, I don't really know what they do with it, but it says to me that somebody's done something. Somebody's tested it in some way. I mean, do you want those things? Of course not. You want things that have been tested because you know they are valuable. They are worth something. And this is the same. We could skate through life on road-strewn pathways, but of course, we wouldn't be worth much if we aren't tested. Tested for the battle that still lies ahead. I'll read. Well, you're close there. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I forgot we were just in 1 Peter. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As Paul charges Timothy here in verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." How do you think that's going to happen? I mean, the instruction of Paul to Timothy was endure hardness, meaning to him that there are going to be hard and difficult times. See that you endure them. How is Paul telling Timothy here to be ready for that? I mean, how do you build up endurance? None of us tonight could go out and run a marathon. Nobody could here tonight. Unless you have some hidden talent or regimen that I don't know about. But none of us can. Doesn't mean we can't do it, but we can't do it right now. We have to prepare or condition ourselves to endure that kind of race. That's what these appointments do for us. They harden us for the battle ahead. There are some things that you deal with now that 10, 20, 30 years ago when you were first saved were devastating to you and you didn't know how to even put one foot in front of the other. And so imagine now, in another how many ever years, the things that God will use us in order to gain His glory from, of course, and accomplish His work in this life because of what we're enduring here and now. And then fourthly and lastly, these nighttime appointments keep us walking with the Lord. The wearisome nighttime appointments, they kept Job seeking God. And though he was depressed at times, though he even says, I sort of wish I'd never been born, kind of thing. And he, even in this passage of our text in chapter 7, what he's saying is really good. I mean, he understands there's appointments, but almost since the melancholy and the depression that's in his voice when he says it. But all the while, Job kept seeking God. He didn't quit, though he was close. Though he was tempted by Satan through his friends to stop, he did not quit seeking God. Even in chapter 23, where he says, I look, everywhere around me, and I see His work, but God is not there. I cannot talk to Him. He was still seeking Him in all of this time. The nighttime appointments keep us seeking the Lord. Though Job would have never voluntarily made this appointment, and in fact, if by some way he could have been privy to the conversation between God and Satan, perhaps would have objected most strongly and said, no, I don't really want that. He was the better for it. And he came out on the other side of it blessed, and all of these things we know. And God no doubt used Job in a great way afterwards. He has used him just in his story throughout time, of course, in a great way. But in the end, he was hardened, he was strengthened, he glorified the Lord. In the end, he even redeemed his three friends from their sin. And God was glorified greatly in him. So we need to continue to move forward, even in the wearisome nights. Move forward in communication, service, and worship of the Lord. It's sometimes hard. In fact, I'll tell you, it's all the time hard. Because, I mean, you sit with people that are in the hospital facing difficult times or grieving over the loss of loved ones. Most of the time, the last thing that's on their mind is reading the Bible. Sometimes the last thing that's on their mind is prayer. And it's a bad idea to tell them, well, you really need to do this. But it is what they need. You need to pray for them that they will see that and keep searching, keep trying, keep moving forward. As I read an article recently, the point that they made in the article was that even when you're in that position and you can't do anything but drag yourself in to church, drag yourself in to Sunday school, drag yourself in to prayer meeting, drag yourself in to just open your Bible, do it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep fighting. Keep going. Because what Job experienced is that the night season does pass. And we realize that too. The night season does pass. And though it may take a toll on us for a time, it is for our good in the end. But it's all at God's direction. And so the main takeaway that I got from reading Job 7 was that the things we experience in life like this, we're quick to say, well, they deserve that because they did this or they did that. In reality, you don't have any idea. You really don't. There's a lot of times we don't even realize ourselves what we've done.